Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
Noah did everything just as God commanded him. That is Genesis 6:22. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my returning guest today is author and single adoptive mom, Kristen Williams. Kristen adopted four daughters from India. Muni is 12, Rupa is 7, then came Mohini, who is 3, and Sona Lee, who is 4. In our last episode, Kristen shared how God called her to adopt her first two daughters. Today, she's going to tell us about bringing home Mohini and Sona Lee. So welcome back, Kristen.
Thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure. Your story is so inspiring. So to get back to your story, it's December of 2015, right? And Muni and Rupa are home. But you sensed you were not done adopting. So tell us what happened next that led you to your third adoption.
So I read two books simultaneously, Imagine Heaven by John Burke and Restless by Jenny Allen. And those books really changed the trajectory of my life because it just really changed and I understood on a deeper level about God's purposes being eternal. And then really taking action and kind of getting out of my myopic vision of the here and now and instead focusing on eternal purposes and changing the lives of my family and then pursuing things in my life that I felt like were going to have eternal value. So I was a teacher. I taught Spanish for 14 years, and then I was teaching at a high school within a district, and I just was feeling stagnant, and I knew I wanted to use my gifts and talents to advocate for the orphan and the orphan crisis and adoption, and I felt like my family wasn't done, and so I knew God was calling me to pursue another adoption, and simultaneously I felt that he was calling me to step away from my teaching career and to start writing my book, and it was scary. Mm-hmm. I was terrified, but I did it. And so in March of 2016, I signed my resignation papers, and I also signed all of my new application paperwork to start with, starting a new adoption. And so it was all terrifying. Like, how is this going to work? This is nuts. This is crazy. But, when God calls you to do something, you have to walk it in obedience. And so I did. And in July of 2016, I was matched with Mohini. And in March of 2017, 1 year to the, a month, not exactly to the day, but 1 year later, I took custody of her. We were in India. All of us were in India. So it was just amazing to see how he worked everything out. It was insane.
Yeah.
And he blew us away. And he provided everything. He provided everything.
Wow.
And it was astounding.
Yeah.
Absolutely astounding.
Obedience is not easy. And the next season you are about to enter testifies to that. So while you were finishing up the process for Mohini, you happened to be sent a wrong file. What happened next?
Right. So I am constantly advocating for waiting children. Because I have adopted several children from India, I'm constantly advocating within the Indian adoption community. And I just have such a heart for waiting kids, and especially older kids. And so I was sent a file, and we hadn't traveled yet for Mohini. It was January. So it was right before I passed court for her, and I was sent a wrong file. And this little girl, who we ended up calling Sparrow as her like code name, I always, my kids, you know, we're a family of nicknames, and we started calling her Sparrow. She was Rupa's age, and she lost her arm the same way that Rupa lost her nose. And immediately, as soon as I opened her file, it was like I got an electrical current the same way that I got Mooney when I saw Mooney's face. I was like, what are you doing, God? This was crazy. I wasn't sure exactly what he was doing, but I knew I was something. I was connected to this child. So I started advocating for her hardcore. And I just was, you know, with everything that I had, I was like trying to get her match, trying to get her match. Nobody would match with her. And, you know, my girls were praying for her. I was praying for her. And then in February, we were walking in the mall, and Rupa stopped in the middle of the mall and said her Indian name, which is a long, kind of complicated name to say, and asked me, Mommy, can, you know, so-and-so, can she still give hugs? Even though she only has one arm, I just like blown away by this, my daughter's, you know, she's just such a deep thinker and a caring person. And I said, well, of course she can. And then she said, well, can I teach her how to play basketball with one arm? And I said, absolutely. And in that moment, I started getting this tingling sensation, and I started praying. I said, God, what are you doing? You know, and I just started to feel like maybe we were supposed to be her family. So we started praying, you know, and I started, you know, I was going to be obedient. And so I told the Lord, if you open doors, I'm going to walk through the doors that you open. So we just kept walking through them. We flew to get Mohini. I was standing in CARA. CARA is the Indian government agency that approves every single adoption in India, internationally and domestic. Prayed for her adoption while standing there. In May, we come home. In May, I have a very distinct dream about her. I have this dream that I'm standing in line in India waiting to view all the children's files, and this woman cuts in front of me and cuts in front of the line and writes down her name, and I'm filled with fear and trepidation. And I said, are you trying to adopt her? And she said, no, I'm advocating for her. And I said, well, I want her. And she said, come back to the file room with me. And so I go back to the file room with her, and we walk in, and there's a huge wooden table and then floor to ceiling of all these green files, just like what Mooney's file looked like and Rupa's file looked like, and they're all unmarked. And she pulls out this file from the middle of it, and she sets it on the table, and she opens it up, and there's Sparrow's name, her Indian name, written, handwritten across the top of it, and then it's totally blank. And I said, why is it blank? And she said, because, Kristen, they don't care about her. And I said, I care about her. I want her. And I love her. And she said, I know you do. And I have something for you that I've been waiting. And she turns around and she reaches back and she grabs this beautiful green and bluish color urn. And she turns to me and she said, this belongs with you until she is home with you. And I said, what is it? She said, it's her arm. And it belongs to you and something with you. And I remember she handed it to me. And I took it and I felt like I had just been given the greatest treasure. And I couldn't believe it. They had gifted it to me. And I took it and I held it to my chest. And I said, I will fight with everything that I am to bring it home. And the woman looked at me and she said, I believe you will. And I turned and I walked down the hallway, and I remember thinking, I have no idea how this is going to happen, but I'm going to do whatever I can. And then I woke up.
That was an incredible dream.
It was so weird. And, you know, God has always spoken to me in dreams. Like, God has been something that has been consistent through my life. So I have a friend who's at Bethel and runs a spiritual team, and I asked her, I said, can you interpret this dream? And so I sent an audio file. When she sent it to her team, they do it all individually. There's no, like, they pray over it individually. They give an audio file back. They all said the same thing. One, that that woman was an angel overseeing the child. Two, the arm was a deposit, that she would be mine, just like the Holy Spirit was a deposit for us. Three, the file room. Being invited back to the file room meant that I would have special favor with Indian government. Four, that the blank file meant that my family would have a part in writing her story, and that her story was not over.
Wow.
2 weeks later, Kara features our story of when Rupa and Mooney and I went viral of adopting Rupa. They featured our story on their Facebook page, like out of nowhere. They just featured us.
And that's the Indian government, right? The adoption.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of nowhere. I was like, oh my goodness.
Favor right there.
Favor. Yeah. Because Kara is tricky, very tricky. And so that was 2 weeks later. That was in June. Fast forward to September of 2017, you know, I'd been hemming and hawing. I don't know how this is going to work, but I told the Lord I would be obedient. We went down to the Ark Encounter, Answers in Genesis, and I'm sitting in the Ark, just astounded by this life-size model of what Noah did. And I'm sitting on this bench, and tears start running down my face, and I realize, you know, I had been holding back. And I needed to take that next step of faith because, you know, Noah, just think of all the years that he's building this huge boat that just made no sense whatsoever. And isn't that what God does with us? He calls us to do things that make no sense in the world, none. And that's what he was calling me to do. Like, I wasn't even home. I mean, I was barely home 6 months with Mohini. I didn't have any money, and yet he was calling me this child. And so I got home and I called my home study agency. I said, it's me again. She laughed. I said, I knew you weren't done. I said, there's one more that I'm going back for. I've been advocating for her and no one is going forward for her. And I feel like God is telling me it's us. And there was an agency that was, also advocating for her. And so I called them and I said, you know, I'm really interested in her, but I also realized that I'm an older single mom with three kids. And they said, well, let's call, you know, the Indian government and see first if they will let you move forward, because you are kind of a special circumstance and we don't want you to waste any money. And I said, okay. Because that sounded reasonable, right?
Yeah.
And so I sent the check to my social worker to start the home study, but then I was waiting, thinking I'm being prudent on the agency aspect. Well, then again, God's pressing on me. Are you being obedient to me, or are you, you know, trusting in the world? And he convicted me, and it was, you know, a couple of days, it was actually a week later, and I called the agency back, and I said, you know what, I'm sending the check in, because I know I'm supposed to pursue her. And so I wrote the first check to get it started, and I sent it in, and it was, I think, 2 days after I sent it in, the India program director called me back, and she said, we just heard back from Kara, and they said that you can move forward with Sparrow. They know she's been waiting for 2 years for family. She's an older child, and no one has come forward for her. And yes, you can move forward with her, you know. And so I felt like God, on, you know, he was calling me to be obedient. And so, you know, I did. So then it was like one delay after another happened. My social worker canceled her visit. And then the India team was in India. Finally, I get uploaded, and I'm waiting for approval because you have to get approval from Kara before you can get actually matched with the child. But my agency knew that as soon as I got that approval, they would match me with her right away. Excuse me. So I'm waiting. December 5th is my dad's birthday. I get an email from my agency, and they said, congratulations. You got your Kara approval. However, we cannot find Sparrow on the Caring's website anymore. And like, what? Like, we looked for her. We cannot find her. Now, the night before, I was in contact with my case director or my caseworker. And it was like 9:30 because there my agency is on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast, and or I'm in the Midwest. And she said, I said, did I get my approval, and is Sparrow still available? No, you didn't get your approval. Yes, she's still available. That's 9:30 on Monday night. Tuesday morning on December 5th, she was gone. Mm. I said, I can't accept this. I know she's supposed to be mine. So she did some research. She called the orphanage to find out. It was 30 minutes. 30 minutes difference. Even the orphanage was confused because they knew I was pursuing her. The orphanage knew I was pursuing her. Kara knew I was pursuing her. Everyone was confused. What happened? Another agency in the Eastern time zone had matched her with a family who had been looking at her for a few days.
Mm.
So my agency called that agency and said, hey, you know, would your family consider a matching with her? Because we have this family who's been pursuing her for almost a year. And they said, no, we're not a matching. And I was devastated.
Mm.
I didn't know what to think. It rocked my faith to the core. Because, you know, we had been praying for her for a year, and in our hearts, she was ours.
Mm.
And it wasn't just me. It was my kids, too. I mean, my kids were mad. Like, they didn't understand. And then I'm navigating their grief and their anger, my own grief, and I was broken. I was broken. I didn't understand. God, why did you leave me all this way just to take her away in 30 minutes? I mean, she could have been matched any other time, but that seemed really cool and intentional. And I really wrestled with that. And it was really hard. And I almost walked away from the whole program. Because I was done. I didn't even want to pursue a fourth child. Like, I was content with three. And the only reason I did was because I was trying to be obedient to what I thought God was calling me to do. And losing her made me question every decision that I ever did. Because then I started to wonder, am I hearing God? What's going on? I mean, it rocks your faith.
Mm.
And 2 weeks later, the family finder sent me a file of a little girl who had been waiting for 2 years. And she said, I know that you're open to a lot of special needs. This little girl has been waiting, and her special needs were really scary. And I'm open to a lot of special needs, but that one was not even on my radar. And I was like, thanks, but no thanks. I'm done. Like, I don't care that I'm losing money. I'm walking away. And she said, I understand. She's like, I lost a referral myself. You know, I was watched with her for 11 months, and this was way back. And she said, but then I ended up with the daughter that I have. She goes, but when I was in your position, I didn't want anyone telling me that, so I understand if you don't want to hear this. And then my caseworker called me, and she said, Kristen, please think about it before you withdraw from the program, because any child would be blessed to be in your family. And you're giving a home to an orphan who's living their life in an orphanage. And, you know, that's hard to hear that. But I didn't want to do it just out of guilt, you know. And so I prayed, and I was not in a good place. And I just kept praying, and God kept working and pressing on my heart. And I couldn't get that little girl's face out of my mind. But I was reeling. I was really reeling and really broken. And I didn't know what to think or believe or know if I was even hearing God anymore. And I kept praying and hoping that the family would unmatch, because there's a 30-day period within the program that they have to unmatch. But I knew that if they didn't do it by Christmas, that they probably wouldn't do it, just because of the season and all the feelings that go along with that. And so Christmas came and went, and they were still matched with her. And so I knew that they weren't going to. And I was struggling with a lot of rage towards them and anger and unforgiveness. I was just in an ugly, ugly place. And well, last week of December, the family finder sent me a list of all of the waiting kids, and it was like 26 pages long. And I'm just going through all these faces of children waiting for a family, and I got to the second and last page, and I'm scrolling through, and there's that little girl. And they give them code names, and her code name was Sophia. And Sophia was the name that I always wanted to name my little girl. But that was something that God had me release when I was in Mooney's adoption. I wanted to name Mooney Sophia, and God had me release that. And so here it is. He's bringing that back in my fourth adoption, and he uses it to pierce my heart once again. And I said, okay, I get it. So I emailed and I said, send me her file. I just want to look at it. And so I looked at it. And the more I start researching her name, the scarier it gets, because it's not just going to impact my life. It's going to impact my girl's life.
Yeah.
I'm researching. But God is pressing on me. And I formulate a list of questions, and I give it to my caseworker. I said, can you ask the orphanage these questions? And she said, absolutely. So she sends it to the orphanage. The next day they respond, which is unheard of. I mean, they responded and they sent pictures and a video. This never happens. And of course I'm done. I see this video of her and I am completely undone. And on January 5th, a month after losing Sparrow, I signed the referral papers for Sonali.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh gosh. And so I signed the papers, and then I completely went out of the correct order of operations. I contact the doctor at the International Adoption Clinic, and I said, hey, just based on my research, I think maybe she has the trait and not the real disease. Can you look over this? And she said, yeah, send me what you have. She emails me the next day, and she said, based on what you sent me, she just has the trait.
Mm.
And so she had been misdiagnosed on the website, which caused her to wait for 2 years for her family, because it was scary the way she was diagnosed, but it turned out that she was, you know, wrongly labeled, causing her to wait longer than she needed to. But
now you brought Sonali home this past August of 2018.
Yes.
You now have four precious daughters, but the journey was not without struggles, as we just heard.
No.
So Kristen, real quick, in just a couple of minutes here, can you share with us what you have learned through this process?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was about in July that I feel like God did a supernatural healing in me and kind of revealed to me, you know, through my friend and I had a conversation, and she said, she spoke truth to me, and it all kind of centered on Romans 8, that, you know, God's purposes are always eternal, and there are billions of choices that are made every day. You know, God has given us free will. And in that free will, there's choices, and there's consequences of those choices. But he calls us to be obedient, and he's always, always going to work those choices that we have. He's going to work the good for our good out of that. And he loves us, and nothing is going to separate us from his love. And I think in our culture, we always have this mindset that obedience ends in reward. Obedience ends in reward, something. And I was wrongly focused on this reward aspect. And in that conversation with her, I realized that the true reward of obedience is intimacy with Christ. And I never, ever, ever thought I would get to the point to say that I'm thankful that I lost Sparrow, because through losing her, I gained an intimacy with Christ that I never would have had, of walking that obedience that he called me to walk and experiencing that profound loss because he walked through it with me. And I wouldn't know him in the way that I know him now if I wouldn't have said yes to what he called me to do. And that's not something that we can experience if we don't say yes and we don't take that step of faith and we don't walk out obedient. And I think just really understanding that true intimacy with Christ is our reward for obedience.
Mm.
And that he removed that thorn in my heart that day. And like I said, I never thought I would be thankful for it, but I can truly say that I am. And, you know, he set the lonely in families, and he set two girls in families, and Sparrow is with her family, and Sweet Tonally is in our family, and he is glorified through all of it. And I have an intimacy with Christ that I never would have had. And I learned that through obedience, and no matter how hard it was. And he walked that deep, deep sorrow with me. And I learned that nothing can separate me from his love. Nothing.
Mm,
nothing.
That is incredible.
And that's a beautiful, powerful thing.
Yeah. Kristen, thank you for your transparency and sharing your story and for joining us today.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for letting me be on your show. I'm humbled and honored to be here. And it was a pleasure to be able to share our story. And I hope others are encouraged. And I hope others will say yes. I hope others will just say yes to God and whatever his calling is on their life. That they will do that, you know, even though they can't see all what it's going to be. Just say yes.
Just say yes.
He'll be there with them.
Yeah. So you can read more about Kristen's adoption journey in her book, Finding You, a Memoir, which is available on Amazon.com. And we thank you, our listeners, for listening to part two of Kristen's adoption story today on Orphans No More. You can find more episodes of our show on our website at justicefororphansny.org. It's also on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. Be sure to follow and to subscribe to the podcast. Every 25th follower gets a free bag of Greater Things Roasters coffee. Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. And like Kristen said today, just say yes. Learn more at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.